in the smallest details of the overall picture. He had never really troubled himself to convince them otherwise. He had relied on their ambitions, their greed, the things he could offer them to keep them loyal. It was time to let the others know how things stood. "We need to take the war to kill Jaden," he said.
"You have said this before, Lord," said Akama, "and of course, we all agree."
His tone and the looks of the advisers scattered around the room made it clear that they did anything but agree.
"But surely we must keep our bases secure, so that we can launch our great attack."
Illidan shook his head, and he knew he had their complete, focused attention now. "We need keep our bases secure only so long as it takes to open the way to Argus." Akama looked at him as if caught somewhere between horror and awe.
"You are ready to reclaim the original home of my people?"
"I am. I wish to see the ones defiling it dead, finally and forever," Illidan said. "And I know how to do that."
"My people fled from there millennia ago. It fell to those who allied with Sargeras, to the followers of Archimonde and Kil'jaeden. It must lie 1,000 worlds in the distance, through 1,000 portals."
High Nethermancer Zerevor smirked as if he already knew the answer. Veras Darkshadow listened in silence. Illidan sensed growing excitement among his demon hunters. "If we follow the paths along which the Draenei fled, that would be true," said Illidan. "I propose a more direct route."
"You plan on opening a portal through the Twisting Nether all the way to Argus? Forgive me for saying so, Lord, but that is impossible."
"Not impossible, Akama, merely extremely difficult. I can open the way there. Anything is possible using magic when you have a sufficient concentration of power and knowledge." Akama appeared to be doing a quick calculation in his head.
"There is no such concentration of power except the sort you used to get to Nathrezar."
Illidan nodded, encouraging Akama to continue with his line of thought. Vandel surprised Illidan by speaking up. "Is it worth it, Lord? Can we truly end the Burning Legion's threat?" Illidan glanced from face to face. The truth was that he did not know. He was only making a leap in the dark. Perhaps the Legion was invincible. Perhaps killing Kil'jaeden would make no difference. Of one thing he was certain, though. "I have dwelled on that question for 10,000 years and more, Vandel," he said. "Since first I made contact with Sargeras, since the first time I truly understood what the Burning Legion was." He paused for a moment, recollecting that. He had been shown the same vision he had shared with the demon hunters only 100 times more vividly. It had been meant to convince him that the Legion was invincible, that it was pointless to oppose the will of Sargeras, that the best and only thing he could do was join the Legion and have a say in the remaking of the universe. His mind had not crumbled, though. He had remained who he was. He had taken what he had seen and used it to motivate himself through all the long centuries of opposition. He had had plenty of time to dwell on such things, he thought bitterly. "I was imprisoned for 10,000 years. In those 10 millennia, I was not idle. I considered everything I had learned about the Legion. I ran through every possible way of opposing it, all the ways anyone could oppose it. That was why I had joined the Legion. I sought to learn all that I could about it. I gave up everything for that knowledge. I know more about the Burning Legion than any living creature, save perhaps its rulers, if you wish to count them among the living. I learned many things, but they all boil down to one stark and terrible fact. I learned that there is no way that the Legion can be defeated by simply waiting for it to come to you. The Legion is too strong. If you turn it back once, it will return. If you turn it back 1,000 times, it will return. And every time, it will be stronger. Its commanders will have learned from their mistakes. Its generals will be prepared for your strategies. They are immortal. Their souls cannot be destroyed in most places. They can be merely thrown back into the Twisting Nether. Eventually, they are reborn there, with all the knowledge of their previous lives. Imagine fighting a warrior who, every time you kill him, comes back. and this warrior remembers the trick you used to defeat him previously and returns prepared for it. Eventually, you run out of tricks. You run out of luck. That is why the Legion cannot be beaten on Azeroth. The spirits of demons can only be destroyed in the Twisting Nether, in places where it bleeds into the world of mortals, or in places utterly saturated with the demonic energies of the Burning Legion. Nathrezar was one such place. Argus is another. There have been those who thought they had defeated the Burning Legion. Dreadlords stride through the ashes of their worlds. Infernals desecrate the tombs of their children. You cannot beat the Legion by fighting it on its terms. In the end, you can only lose. There is only one way of winning: to assault the Burning Legion where it can be destroyed. It is a slim chance, but it is our only one. We do not have a choice. All we can do is stand and wait to die, or we can take the war to Sargeras and his minions. We will destroy the lieutenants who motivate the Legion's forces. We will slay Kil'jaeden and Archimonde too if he has been reborn. Sargeras needs commanders to control his soldiers. Without them, the Eredar will fall to fighting among one another, and piecemeal may be destroyed. Akama and most of Illidan's other advisers stared in horror and wonder. The demon hunters merely nodded. I will take this war to Argus. You! Illidan swept his arm about the room, gesturing to the assembled tattooed fighters. All of you claimed you wanted to take your vengeance on the Burning Legion. I am offering you the greatest chance anyone has ever had to do that. We will take demon lives as a reaper takes wheat, and we will kill their commanders in a place from which they cannot return. All of you have proved yourselves worthy to accompany me. He let that sink in. He was not asking them to accompany him. He was telling them that they were worthy, and it was the truth. He saw them, one by one, nod their agreement. Go now. Tell the others. Prepare for the opening of the way to Argus.
Where are you going?
Akama asked. His voice was little more than a hoarse whisper. He tugged at the tendrils on his chin, appalled. To a place where there are many souls waiting for dissolution. To Ockendoon.
The mausoleum of the Draenei Lord. But it is sacred.
Illidan focused his attention on Akama. Had there been a note of rebelliousness in his voice? Not to me, faithful Akama. Akama lowered his head slowly, his shoulders slumped. Illidan knew he did not like what was going on, but for the sake of his own soul and those of his people, he would have to accept it.
As you say, Lord.
Illidan spread his arms and wings wide. Go now, all of you. You will all have parts to play before the end. Vandel watched the others depart from the room. He took a last glance at the great map board with its counters representing scattered armies. It looked like a toy now, a child's puzzle that had nothing to do with the business they were undertaking. As he followed the others out of the council chamber, he thought about Illidan's words and the vision Vandel had seen when he consumed the demon's flesh. He did not for a moment doubt that what Illidan had said was true. The Burning Legion was invincible when opposed by any normal means. There was no defensive strategy that could defeat an army that had unlimited resources and immortal soldiers. The real question was whether Illidan's plan made any difference. For the past few months, the betrayer had seemed even less sane than ever. And now Vandel understood why. All his schemes were nearing a climax. Illidan did not care about Outland. He did not care about Hellfire Citadel or Coilfang Reservoir. None of it meant anything to him. None of it ever had, save as a stepping stone to his ultimate destination. Vandel saw what many of the other advisers did not. Illidan had no plan beyond this point. He was standing on the edge of a great abyss, planning on a long leap into darkness. Everything that happened, the taking of citadels, the coming of the Alliance and the Horde, was a sideshow to him. Vandel knew that come what may, all of this was going to go to pieces within the next few months. None of them were going to live much longer. Whether they followed Illidan to Argus, or remained here to fight against the Legion, or the Alliance and the Horde, it made no difference. They were all going to die. The question then became, what gave their deaths the greatest meaning? If what Illidan had said was in the slightest true, there was only one thing to be done. Vandel touched the amulet he had made for Kharael so long ago. He had come here with a purpose in mind, to oppose the Burning Legion and take vengeance if he could. He would see that through to the bitter end. He glanced around at the other demon hunters and saw that they had come to a similar conclusion. The Blood Elves, as always, looked as if they were thinking of some way to take advantage of the situation. Vandel knew that whatever happened, he would follow Illidan. He glanced over his shoulder into the council chamber. The betrayer was still there, shoulders slumped, wings wrapped forlornly around them. He paced 9 steps and then turned. As if sensing he was watched, Illidan stood taller, flexed his wings and crossed his arms upon his chest. As the doors slid silently shut, Vandel knew that even their leader was consumed by doubt. Illidan considered the silent war room. Emptiness made the giant chamber larger. The lack of living sounds turned the place dead. He walked over to the map table and considered the fallen fortresses of his outland empire. Each of those overturned models and carved blocks represented thousands of deaths, lakes of blood spilled. The thought occurred to him that he had long ago ceased to care about such things. In the game he played, tens of thousands of lost lives were a negligible cost. There had been a time, long ago, when those deaths would have troubled him. He knew that intellectually, but he no longer felt the emotion, could not even begin to remember what it would have been like. And that bothered him. He had spent so long armoring himself against doubt, forcing himself only to ask questions that were relevant to his struggle. Now, in this empty chamber, he could hear only the echoes of voices, no longer speaking. Both Vandel's doubts and Akama's were justified. It was possible he was wrong. It was possible that he was as insane as he had often been accused of being. He picked up one of the pieces, an orc warrior carved from cleftuf ivory, and turned it over and over in his fingers. How many fell orcs had he sent to their deaths without a second thought? He could calculate the number if he wished. His sorcerously trained mind was capable of remembering all of the orders of battle and supply lists. That was not the point. He thought about the demon hunters. They were his own people. He shared a kinship with the elves that he shared with no others, but even that seemed a remote thing. He had walked paths that separated him from even them. He had spent 10,000 years in isolation with only Maiev and her watchers for company, and they were mostly distant presences. 10,000 years alone, with nothing but his thoughts and his plans and his visions. 10,000 years of dark dreams and testing bonds that could not be broken until finally Tyrande had freed him. He considered visiting Maiev and inflicting a fraction of the punishment she deserved. The chess piece crumbled in his grip. He threw the fragments back down onto the map. There was no time to get distracted now. He had a war to win. Doubts rose to torment him. What if he was wrong? What if he had miscalculated? His visions were not infallible. Perhaps there was another way, and he had not seen it. Perhaps he was blind to a possibility that might win this war without all the sacrifices. He had searched and searched for one and had not found it. But that did not mean it was not there. Betrayer. That was what they called him. That was how they would remember him. If they were lucky enough to survive and remember anything, it would be because he had saved them, and they would never know. That thought gave him a moment of dour pleasure. He squared his shoulders, flexed his wings, and strode from the chamber without looking back. It was time to go to Ochindun and face the spirits of the restless dead. Akama stood beside Maiev's cage. He had dismissed the guards. She had listened to the tale of Akama's last encounter with Illidan, her face becoming ever paler. He was running an awful risk coming here at this time, but he needed to talk with someone who shared his burning hatred of Illidan. Sick horror filled the Broken's heart. The betrayer planned yet another desecration of a Draenei holy place. There was nothing he would not do. Not even the greatest cemetery of Akama's people was safe from Illidan's towering madness. Whatever happened, at whatever cost, Illidan must be stopped. Akama knew that now, felt it with every fiber of his being. Even if it meant risking his soul, it was time to begin his last desperate plan. "He is mad," Maiev said. "He has always been mad. But this is the most insane scheme I've ever heard of, opening a way to Argus. Are you sure he does not mean to summon reinforcements from there to let him defeat the Alliance and the Horde?" Akama shook his head. "You were not present. You did not hear him speak. He believes in what he says utterly. He plans on going ahead with this scheme. He no longer cares about anything else. For the past few weeks, he has neglected his realm and worked feverishly on this solitary goal to create this gateway of his. He has woven spell after spell, created astromantic chart after astromantic chart. He has done nothing else, even as his empire crumbled." "Perhaps he plans on using the gateway to escape," Maiev said. A note of worry appeared in her voice, as if she still seriously believed she had a chance of hunting down her prey unaided. "Perhaps he hopes to open a way to some refuge far from here. You should understand that. Your own people did the same. Illidan is not the sort to flee. I believe he really and truthfully plans to seek out Kil'jaeden and fight him to the death." Maiev's mocking laughter rang out. "He will lose, and all his efforts will go for naught. All your efforts will go for naught as well. Your precious temple will fall to the Alliance or the Horde. Free me! At least if the temple falls to the Alliance, I will be able to intercede for you and see that it is returned to your people." Akama looked at her and smiled. "There is no need for you to worry on that score. I have made my own plans. All you need do is be patient." "Is that why you have visited me so often, Broken One? Do you still think to use me in your schemes?"
"What if I do? What if I could release you from this place and set you on the path to vengeance?"
"You have made such promises before."
"Ah, but the time was not right then. It is now."
Akama walked away, enjoying the thoughtful silence as Maiev considered the implications of his words. In the distance, the earth shook as the hand of Gul'dan erupted. It had been doing that a lot of late. It was an evil omen. Chapter 26. The Last Month Before the Fall. Ash crunched beneath Illidan's hooves as he landed outside the broken gates of Ochendoon. Over him the walls of the mausoleum city towered. They were grey, like the surrounding wastes. In the distance a huge carrion-eating bone-lasher flapped across the sky. A decrepit cleft hoof, its massive strength all but gone, staggered through the waste. The chill wind stirred the dust, sending sandy rivulets trickling. The city looked as if it had once been a massive dome, like the helmet of some titan, but it had been smashed to fragments, scattered across the dry, dead land behind him. He sensed the distant pulse of magic thrumming between the spirit towers that loomed over the bone wastes. What purpose did they serve? He was not quite certain, and that disturbed him. He had spent a long lifetime mastering magic, and there were still gaps in his knowledge. Even the fell orcs of the Shadow Moon clan, normally the most fearless and aggressive of creatures, shifted uneasily. There was something about this dead place that penetrated even their rage-filled minds and caused a feeling like dread. That in itself was disturbing, for of all the orcish clans in his service, the Shadow Moon was the most accustomed to necromancy and dark sorcery. Their captain, Grimback Shadow Rage, grunted encouragement at them, and they settled down to await his commands. Illidan's mouth felt dry, and his throat constricted. He tasted and smelled something odd, as if tiny particles of bone had infiltrated his nostrils and tickled his tongue. He felt as if bits of all the skeletons buried in the dust had found their way into the air. He ignored the sensation and studied the ruins. Some dreadful disaster had struck the city, that much was clear. Huge gratings of tortured metal emerged from broken stonework, like ribs showing through the rotting flesh of a corpse. According to Akama, this was a holy site where the bones of dead Draenei had been interred. Something had gone wrong, though. There were many and conflicting rumors that a dark ritual had unleashed the dead, that the orcs had tampered with something best left undisturbed and released forces of great evil, that the Burning Legion had tested some terrible weapon on the place, and the resulting evil energies had warped everything within it. Illidan knew the truth. He had inherited it from Gul'dan's memories when he consumed the power in his skull. The old schemer had dispatched a group of warlocks to the city in search of artifacts buried there. The survivors had told him that something had gone wrong, and they had summoned a strange entity. It had shattered Ochindoon, smashing the great dome, scattering the remains of countless dead across a huge area of the desert. Illidan gave the signal to advance. The fell orcs roared a challenge and marched under the shadow of the dead city's gates. The heavy tread of their feet seemed like a desecration of the ancient quiet. In the shadows, old and hungry things watched and waited. It seemed as if a thousand eyes observed them unseen. The dust crunched as they passed beneath a huge arch. It had piled up in drifts that made walking hard for the fell orcs, although he could move across the surface by keeping himself aloft with a simple beat of his wings. The city had been built in concentric rings. Illidan's forces had no sooner passed through the arch than they found themselves confronted by the shattered remains of another wall. Stairs rose ahead. To both right and left, what once must have been a huge street curved away. In the outer walls, there were many openings that told of ways into the tombs and mausoleums within. Everything had a tumble-down, forlorn look. The wind moaned as it caressed his skin and bulged his wings. He led the fell orcs up worn stairs and passed under all that was left of a triumphal arch. Once through it, they looked down from the top of a wall as wide as a road into another ring of ruins within. Like the rings within a tree, Illidan thought. From where he stood, he had a fine view clear across the center of the dead metropolis. The city once must have been built on multiple levels, and this had been one of them. Perhaps it had all been one huge building with many chambers and halls. Now, whole floors had tumbled in to lie on the ground below. It was perplexing. This place had been built for unknowable reasons to please the alien sensibilities of the Draenei. He wanted to reach the very center of the city, but there was going to be no easy way of doing so. He could fly down to the lower level of the central area, but the fell orcs could not go with him, nor could the bearers of the huge casket containing the soul siphon. He pulled his wings tight around him like a cloak against the wind. It felt like a mistake to come here. Nothing good could come of this. One of the scouts returned, a grin of triumph spread across his face. "We have found a way into the crypts, Lord." Strange braziers flanked the archway, illuminating banners containing odd runes. A decomposed skeleton lay near. The air smelled of ancient incense and old bones. Everywhere hung the sick, sweet scents of putrefaction, the throat-tingling itch of corpse dust entered through Illidan's nostrils. As he crossed the threshold of the underground vault, things immediately felt different, as if Illidan had gone through a barrier into some other dimension. The stone braziers glowed a fell green, and ahead the shimmering, near-translucent figure of a Draenei spirit stalked forward, empty eyes gazing into oblivion. It looked more sad than frightening, and yet there was something about it that was deeply unsettling. The fell orcs growled threateningly, but made no move to attack. What are these ghosts, really? The sorcerer in Illidan wondered. Were they the disembodied spirits of the dead, left to wander the world? If so, why did they not remember things and act under their own free will, as his spirit did when it moved through the twisting nether? The ghost moved backward and forward in a predictable pattern like some mad, broken thing. Perhaps it was diseased, or crazed, or had lost something. Perhaps the magic that had turned the mausoleum city into a place of the restless dead had caused this too. Such speculation would have to wait. It was time to move on. Illidan's force pushed on deeper into a labyrinth of corridors and vaults. Ochindoon was vast and ancient, and the city below was many times larger than that which lay above ground. Cobwebs of spectral energy latticed the ceilings. More fell braziers illuminated piles of bones. They lay in great heaps, as if some insane collector had gathered them and tossed them into a jumble. Here and there, shattered paving stones revealed pits in the rock beneath the crypts. In some, nuggets of raw adamantite gleamed. The only living things visible were the fist-sized spiders that scuttled from one shadow to another. Illidan and his troops passed over strange bridges and by huge stone coffins. As they entered a massive chamber lined by gigantic sarcophagi, Illidan sensed an eerie presence. What had been only an empty archway contained a glowing form resembling that of a Draenei. It radiated a cold, life-sucking force. Illidan unleashed a bolt of energy, and the thing disintegrated in the face of his power. As if that were a signal, shimmering figures emerged from the shadows, suddenly just there. They fell upon the fell orcs and were cut to shimmers of ectoplasm by runic weapons and powerful spells. A massive pile of bones sprang up as they passed, knitting themselves together into animated skeletons, their fleshless fingers clutching weapons that perhaps they had borne in life. On ledges around the walls of the vault, robed Draenei wove dark magic, their power connected with unlife, but the ones tapping it were living. Their necromancy drew the dead to life. Illidan dispatched fell orcs to cut them down. Slowly they fought their way into the center of the crypt. As they did so, the silvery, haunting call of horns rang out. It echoed away through the endless corridors. No doubt a warning was being spread. More defenders were being summoned. Good, Illidan thought. All the more to feed to the soul siphon. Illidan's forces continued fighting. Tides of strange spirits roared over them. More and more of the fell orcs went down. It was a pity. Illidan had not yet had time to set up the soul siphon and make their deaths count in the great scheme of things. Here was the place he wanted, though, deep below the city, beneath its endless halls of interred corpses. The fell orcs drew up in ranks around the palanquin containing the soul siphon. It lay in an elf-sized sarcophagus of brass, fell iron, and true silver. Illidan sprang into the air, felt a chill wind surge beneath his wings, and landed atop the container. He spoke a word of power, and the casket sprang open, revealing the soul siphon. Power pulsed through the fell iron piping, channeled by the runes inscribed in the artifact's side. He was proud of his sorcery. He had managed to recreate some of the magical effects of the ritual used to suck in the souls of the dead and the dying when he opened the portal to Nathrezar. When activated, the siphon would sweep the restless spirits haunting Ochindoon into its vortex, disassemble them, and store their power. Three teardrop-like gems lay in the center of the device. Right now, the gems were dull and black, but as the siphon filled, they would blaze. When all of them burned, he would have enough power to open the gateway to Argus. He invoked the artifact's might, creating a psychic link between himself and the device. He felt the presence of it in his mind, a yawning abyss, a thing thirsty for power, hungry to devour whatever it encountered. The siphon held a fierce, primitive sentience. The moment he made contact, it began vampirically to drain the life from him. He wove spells of protection and then mastery, binding the entity to his will as he would a demon. More robed Draenei arrived, heading companies of walking skeletons. They directed their forces to attack. The Fellorks formed up around Illidan. "Hold them for a few minutes, and triumph will be ours." The Fellorks closed ranks and raised their weapons. Wave after wave of the walking dead threw themselves forward. Individually, they were no match for the Fellorks, but they came on in seemingly endless numbers. As they distracted the Fellorks, bolts of shadow magic flew from the necromancers. Worst of all were the spirits. They slithered through unseen, their cold spectral hands grasping Fellork bodies and sucking the life out of them, leaving chilled corpses to drop to the ground. Illidan continued to wake the soul siphon to its full power. He forced himself to concentrate, knowing that he did not have much time. The Fellorks could not hold up under this pressure for long. Already a few of their corpses responded to sly necromantic sorcery and sprang up to attack their former comrades. The siphon resisted him. Something about his surroundings aided it, lending power to that which fought against him. He gritted his teeth and howled the words of the spell. Skeletons disintegrated, particles of shadow flowing from them into the maw of the siphon. At first the Fellorks cheered, and then they were too busy fighting for their lives to notice that their spirits were also, upon death, consumed by the magical engine. The tidal wave of oncoming ghosts was sucked in like water gurgling into a sewer. The siphon exerted its tremendous power, its dark, magical energy drawing souls to it like filings to a magnet. The first of the gems on the siphon glowed bright as a demonic sun. A quick glance showed Illidan that almost half of his bodyguards were down. Without his magic to aid them, they were losing the battle. He wanted to join them, but he could not. He needed to concentrate on the soul siphon lest it run out of control. If that happened, it might explode, killing them all. He increased the rate of intake, hoping to destroy more of the spirits and gather their power swiftly enough that he could complete the ritual and turn the tide of the battle. Souls screamed into the siphon. The pain of holding the spell was agonizing. Finally, the necromancers realized what he was doing. They concentrated their attacks on him. A bolt of magical energy lanced into Illidan's side. Agony so intense that he almost lost control of the siphon smashed through him. He gritted his teeth and forced himself to hold the binding spell in place. The siphon fought against him again. Illidan felt part of his own spirit being drawn into the device. Illidan forced his mind into a warding pattern, resisting the attack, slowing down the drain on his life force. As he did so, he felt his control over the siphon's binding spell begin to slip. The second gem glowed brightly now. Sparks of soul energy surrounded him like a blizzard of black snow. The power roared in thick and fast, if he could only hold on for a few more moments. His Fellorks were down to a third of their original number now. Grimback, Shadow Rage, roared encouragement at those remaining. He turned to Illidan, and just for a moment, hope, belief, and entreaty raced across his face before it became once more a snarling, warlike mask for the benefit of his soldiers. Illidan considered trying a counterspell against the necromancers, but realized it was impossible. He could not hold the soul siphon, protect himself, and launch an attack at the same time. Even he was not so powerful a magician. Illidan's legs felt rubbery and his head spun. Strength drained out of him faster and faster, and it was all he could do to restrain the growing power of the soul siphon. He had not foreseen this. He had never imagined falling in this dark place. He was going to die here, and all his schemes would come to naught. The best thing to do was simply to release control of the spell restraining the soul siphon and let its energies explode outward, killing everything around him. At least this way he would have vengeance on his killers. No, he was not going to die. He still had work to do. His destiny must be fulfilled. The Burning Legion must be opposed. He drew on his last reserves of will to keep the soul siphon functioning. He fell to his knees as the life drained out of him. Slowly, the last gem filled. Hold on. Hold on. Agony racked Illidan's body as bolts of dark energy lashed him. Grimbak Shadow Rage tumbled to the ground beside him. A few of his bodyguards had made a fighting retreat alongside their captain and shielded him with their own bodies as the Walking Dead and their sorcerer masters closed in. The final gem was full. Illidan spoke the words that tied off the flow of energy and imprisoned it. He raised himself slowly to his hooves as the last of the fell orcs went down. He gathered what strength was left in him and opened a portal back to the Black Temple. The last thing he heard was the enraged shouting of the necromancers as he and the soul siphon vanished. Chest heaving, he settled himself on the cold stone of his sanctum. Sweat dripped down his brow. He could barely breathe. The room swirled around him, and consciousness slipped away. Chapter 27. One Day Before the Fall. Illidan sat on the throne in his council chamber. It had been weeks since his return from Ochindoon, and still he was weak. His power had not returned to anything like what it had been before his use of the soul siphon. Not for the first time he considered dispatching an expedition to root out the necromancers. He could not waste the resources. He looked at the great map table. His armies were shattered, his empire crumbling. Among them, the Alliance, the Horde, and the Burning Legion had riven his outland realm. It was all his followers could do to hold together the last remaining outposts in Shadow Moon Valley. The reports from his captains, when he had felt well enough to listen, had been very far from encouraging. He had only himself to blame. He had decided to go to Ochindoon, accompanied only by his fell orc bodyguards. He had chosen to reserve the power of the demon hunters for the final confrontation, not understanding the very real danger that awaited him in the City of the Dead. That overconfidence was going to cost him, and perhaps all who lived, dearly. He pushed the thought aside. He could not afford to let himself think like that. There must be hope, some chance of victory. If he could not win the battle himself, perhaps his demon hunters could. They were powerful, and they had been trained for this fight. It might cost all of their lives, but victory could still be theirs. Keep telling yourself that, and perhaps you might actually come to believe it. The sour thought crept into his mind, no matter how much he tried to keep it out. Doubt was a demon against which he had no defense. One by one, his blood elf advisers filtered into the chamber. He could tell by their expressions that the news was not going to be good. He rose from his throne, concealing the pain that hampered his movements as best he could, but all eyes followed him, measuring and judging. Those present were ruthless, ambitious, and unbound by any conventional ideas of morality. They studied him as wolves might study the ailing leader of their pack. His empire might have shrunk, but it was still an empire, and many others no doubt thought themselves capable of ruling it and even reclaiming what was lost. Perhaps they were right about that. It did not matter. Illidan resented being here, resented having to go through with this charade. Every minute spent placating his advisers was a minute not used, finalizing his plans to end the threat of the Burning Legion. He forced himself to look around the room. Every one of those present had to meet the baleful power of his eyeless gaze. High Nethermancer Zerevor spoke first. "The news from the Netherstorm is interesting. Tempest Keep and our treacherous former prince have fallen. Whether this is good or bad for us, I do not know." Illidan made an impatient gesture, cutting him off. Kael'thas had sided with Kil'jaeden, so he deserved whatever evil fate had befallen him. He was not worth any more of Illidan's time. He turned to Lady Melanda. "And the news from Blade's Edge Mountains?"
"Lord Illidan, Gruul the Dragon Killer has been overthrown. I can find other allies. All it will take is a little more time."
Melanda was wrong. No allies would be coming from the mountains. Illidan nodded as if he believed her, though. The matter was irrelevant. He needed to get back to building the portal to Argus. He needed to perform the final ritual that would set up the terminus point.
"With all respect, Lord Illidan," said Gathios,
Time is just one of the resources we are running short of. We need to mount counter-strikes against both the Alliance and the Horde, teach them to fear us, regain our lost territories.
Gathios had been pushing for that for weeks, ever since the extent of the invaders' conquests had become clear. In purely military terms, he was correct. If Illidan's only concern were holding on to Outland, then he should be counter-attacking. Although things had probably gone too far for that, they no longer had the forces to fight a war on three fronts.
Veras Darkshadow pointed that out and added, "We could offer an alliance to one side or the other. Play them off against each other. It might buy us some time."
Veras clearly thought he knew what Illidan wanted to hear. It was also something that Zerevor and Melander would disagree with. The Blood Elves fell to arguing. In his mind, Illidan reviewed the plans for the portal to Argus. There was still too much work to do. He needed more true silver for the inlays. He needed to reinforce the dampening spells that would feed power from the soul siphon to the portal itself. There would need to be ways of making sure that the flow of energy was even and swift, that the gate opened smoothly. He needed the visualization to be absolutely clear. Nothing could go wrong. There would only be one chance to get this right. At the moment, as things stood, he might be able to open the gateway, but it could not stay open without a guiding will to keep it stable. He needed to find a way to ensure that it would remain steady once they passed through it. There was so much to be done.
"What do you think, Lord?" Gathios asked. "What should we do?"
Suddenly, he was tired of all this. He was tired of listening to this petty, pointless bickering over matters that were no longer of any concern to him. He was tired of the feeling of weakness and lassitude that filled him. Time was running out, and he had important work to do, and this was a needless distraction. Illidan dismissed them with a wave of his hand.
"Get out of my sight," he said.
Illidan looked around the great chamber of transference. Day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, he had created the last and greatest portal spell he would ever weave. Every line had been etched in the floor by his own hand. He had boiled the alembics of true silver himself and filled out line after line. He had inscribed the runes around the edges in demon ichor mixed with his own blood. Each wall was covered in intricate warding symbols based on his tattoos. At junctions in the pattern, he had placed the skulls of demons and sorcerers, each etched with miniature versions of their section of the pattern to help channel the flow of energy. These additions reflected the star beacons in the sky over Argus. At the center of the weave lay the seal of Argus. It pulsed with power now, a direct link to the world of Kil'jaeden that would guide the unleashed energies of the portal. Everything still had an unfinished, incomplete look to it. The spell engines that would feed power from the soul siphon into the pattern were untested. The generators, great machines of copper and brass and fell iron, intricate as gnomish engines, stood almost ready. The whole vast pattern was falling into place, but too slowly. He had strengthened his weakened body with magic to give him the energy and concentration of a dozen lesser sorcerers, but it was still not enough. It would take many more moons to complete sorcery so vast and intricate, and he could feel the sands running through his life's hourglass far too quickly. Now was not the time to allow himself to panic. Impatience led to mistakes, and in an undertaking as complex as this one, the slightest error could lead to catastrophe. He needed just to focus on the matter at hand, to do what must be done this day, this hour, this minute. He needed to complete the link between Outland and Argus. He must set the terminal runes. He placed the incense and invoked the spell. One by one, the magical engines sprang to life, filling the air with the stench of ozone and brimstone. Tiny trickles of energy, the slightest breath of power compared with the great roaring gale that would mark the portal's opening, leapt from the engines. The lines of true silver shimmered. A mirror image of their pattern appeared in the air above them, projected from the seal of Argus. He let his spirit exit his weary body.
It was easier to let go, as if using the soul siphon in Ochandun had somehow weakened the link between his spirit and his flesh. He reached out and wove the flows of energy from the pattern into subtle threads, then gathered them to his spirit. He followed the intricate pattern of runes out into the twisting nether. His spirit flashed through the void, and once again Argus appeared beneath him. He looked down on the once glittering and beautiful world, then sent his spirit soaring downward into its glass canyons and diamond-edged mountains. He moved as cautiously as he could. This time he sought to establish a terminal point for the portal. A web of magical energy linked him to Outland. He had done his best to conceal it, but a sufficiently adroit sorcerer, and this was a world full of them, might still detect him unless he was extremely careful. The thought of the being he had encountered last time troubled him. It had seemingly aided him, but he knew how subtle and cunning the demons of the Burning Legion could be. Kil'jaeden was well named the Deceiver. Illidan flew closer to the palace city where the demonic rulers of the Burning Legion dwelled. He feared that his comet trails of magic leading back to Outland might be spotted no matter how thin they were, no matter how well he had concealed them. He slowed his advance to a crawl. A tingling of his spectral senses warned him that he was under observation. He tried to track whatever spied on him, but it eluded his perception. Alarm pulsed through his mind. The fact that it could elude his powers of observation even when he was alert spoke of tremendous sorcerous ability. The thing might attack him by surprise while he was most vulnerable, placing the points of resonance for the portal. He waited for long moments, but nothing happened. Perhaps he was caught up in the backwash of some defensive spell designed to induce paranoia and doubt. Kil'jaeden was capable of such subtle magic. Every moment Illidan spent here was a moment wasted, one that increased his chances of being discovered. He needed to either proceed with his plan or retreat and wait for a more auspicious time. It was now or never. He plunged toward Kil'jaeden's enormous crystalline palace, found the part he was looking for, and wove the spells. A small, temporary whirlwind of force appeared, a tiny echo of the vast pattern back in the Black Temple. Illidan glanced around, waiting for the hammer to fall. If he had been detected, now would be the time. No ward spell sprang to life, no alarm triggered. The vortex faded virtually to non-existence, leaving behind a well-nigh undetectable residue of power. As it did so, Illidan thought he was under observation once more. The sense of the watching presence returned, intensified. He felt as if something looked upon his action with immense curiosity, but when he sought out the source, he could not find it. Wait. What was that? That faint aura of shimmering light. He focused on it, but even as he did so, it vanished from his perception as if the owner had somehow withdrawn below the skin of the universe. He needed to concentrate on the work at hand. He was distracted when he could least afford to be. He flitted through the crystalline palace to a new location, a vast chamber in which succubi danced for the amusement of demonic generals. He invoked the portal anchoring spell once more, fixing it in place as swiftly as he could. He was closer to the throne room of Kil'jaeden now, and the danger of detection increased with that nearness. He felt as if something vast and powerful loomed behind him, watching him work, studying the way he invoked the spell, observing how the anchor fell into place. He dared not interrupt the casting to try to catch it, otherwise the whole ritual would fail. It was all he could do to focus on the work at hand, when at any moment a blast of power might cast him into oblivion. He forced himself to concentrate on completing the anchoring spell, then swiftly attempted to bring his observer into view. Once again, it eluded him. Even in the reduced emotional state that came with being in spirit form, he was angry. He did not like being toyed with, and he felt that this was what was happening now. Kil'jaeden knew he was here and was playing with him. He was being allowed to get near the completion of his spell, and at the last moment his spirit would be captured and imprisoned. He had only three more anchors to set, and one way or another the thing would be over. Part of him wanted to attempt an escape, or draw his attacker out and get into battle, no matter how one-sided that conflict might prove to be. The next two anchor points went down easily. Each time he felt himself observed, and he sensed the same deep curiosity about what he was doing radiating from the hidden watcher, but try as he might, he could not find any way to make the creature reveal itself. Now he moved cautiously closer to the great throne room. An enormous concentration of demonic power lay there. Kil'jaeden was in residence, and many of his generals were there too. Illidan needed to be extraordinarily cautious now. In his spirit form, that assembled force could crush him as if he were an insect. All of them were, without a doubt, sorcerers capable enough to detect him, unless he shielded himself with supreme skill and laid the anchoring spell with the utmost care. He paused again, silently cursing his hidden observer, knowing that the attack would soon come, raging at the futility of what he was attempting, but realizing he had no other choice. Perhaps another might be able to complete his great work, even if he was captured here. It was the most forlorn of hopes. There were few sorcerers of sufficient skill in Azeroth or Outland, and they would be most unlikely to finish his work. What else could he do, though? He had come this far. He needed to continue. He steeled himself and invoked the last anchor for the spell. This was the most dangerous moment. Instead of simply taking form and fading, this vortex sent out a pulse of force, leaping to the farthest anchor and then the next, forming a great pentacle and then filling in the complex web of runes until it had replicated the magical energy of the pattern in his sanctum in Outland. The principle of harmonic resonance established a connection between the two great symbols. Despite his wariness, he felt a flush of triumph. The link between Argus and Outland was established. The portal could be activated once the pattern was finished. He had but a heartbeat to enjoy his victory, and then the attack came. The power of it was astonishing. His spirit form was swept up like an infant being snatched by an orc. He was like a swimmer caught in an oceanic undertow. No matter how much he struggled, he could not break free. He stopped, determined to preserve his strength for when the worst came. He emerged onto a plane of light. Before him glittered a being of perfect geometric lines. They twisted in a way that made them seem to disappear and reappear a moment later in a completely different arrangement. It baffled his brain trying to follow the changes. Illidan braced himself to unleash the most destructive spell he could in spirit form, but the creature did not attack. He realized he had seen its like before, in the Terrace of Light in Shattrath. If anything, this creature was possessed of even more power than Adal and its followers. "You are a Naru," Illidan said eventually, when he wearied of the silence.
"I am an elder, Naru, possibly the eldest now remaining in these universes."
"Why are you here? Do you serve Sargeras or Kil'jaeden?" Gentle mirth emanated from the Naru. Sparkles of light shifted around its form like the notes of laughter made visible.
"I do not."
A faint sense of relief swept over Illidan. It might be a trick, though, meant to take him off guard.
"Then what are you doing here?"
"Waiting for you."
"You knew I would come?"
"You, or someone like you, was bound to.
The universe throws up champions in the face of those who would destroy it."
"It could perhaps have picked a better one." The words emerged from his mouth before he could stop them.
"I do not think so. You are what you are. All your days have forged you into that. A weapon aimed at the heart of a great demon.
I would like to think I am somewhat more sentient than my warglaives."
"That is what makes you dangerous."
"So the universe has anointed me to slay Kil'jaeden." His tone was sardonic, but hope flickered inside Illidan. Perhaps, if what this Naru said was true, there was some chance of victory after all. The swirl of lights indicated a negative.
"No. Your enemy is far greater than Kil'jaeden. Greater even than Sargeras and his burning legion.
Wonderful, Illidan said, as if they were not strong enough. The suspicion that this was all a subtle, mocking trap set by Kil'jaeden sidled once more into his mind. He fought down bitterness. It seemed as if all his sacrifices had gone for naught. If this was a trap, his struggle was ended. If it was not, then things were even worse than he had thought. The Void is a more potent foe by far than the Burning Legion. It is the ultimate opponent of the Light. It will take all the peoples of Azeroth and Outland united to oppose it. The Naru stopped pulsing. You do not believe me? You lose faith and hope. Then know this. Before Illidan could defend himself in any way, a bolt of pure light blasted from the Naru. It struck his empty eye sockets and filled them with a golden glow. Illidan braced himself for a blast of agony that did not come. In the past, such magic had always racked him with pain. He would normally have done the same to any user of fell magic. His vision shimmered and faded, and he found himself looking down on a terrible battlefield. Amid mountains of corpses, a winged figure battled at the head of the legions of light. A golden glow surrounded his warglaives. He cleft demons asunder with mighty blows. The soldiers surrounding him gazed up in awe and wonder at their leader. It took Illidan a moment to realize that this being's features were his own, transformed, his eyes glowing fiercely. This avatar of the light looked calm and strong and at peace. His face was filled with confidence, shorn of all suffering. As Illidan watched, the winged figure rose above the battle, defying gigantic entities of darkness, creations of the evil of the void. A halo played around his head. His body began to glow brighter than the sun, and from his outstretched arms, rays of light emerged to strike down his foes. There was a sense of rightness about this, as if he looked upon a vision of the unborn future. For a moment he could believe in it, but then his doubts rushed back. This could not be true. It was not any path he had ever set out on. It was not who he was. He was a fighter and a killer, as driven by darkness and his own desires as he was by any urge to do right. You will defy death, the Naru's voice said as the vision faded. I have seen this. Whatever you were, whatever you are, a champion of light is what you will be. There was utter certainty in the Naru's voice, and it communicated itself to Illidan. For a moment he felt the light embrace him, and his heart was at rest. He had been given a vision of redemption beyond any he had hoped for. Peace filled him as he communed silently with the Naru. The moment lasted only a heartbeat, but when it ended, Illidan felt as if it might have been a lifetime. You will be a hero, said the Naru. But there will be a price. There always is. The moment ended. Illidan stood suffused by a feeling of peace. The lattice of light, the shimmering plain, faded, and Argus appeared around him and the Naru. It had always been there, he realized. The reality he had stood within with the being was entirely a product of its power, an illusion. Sudden fear stabbed at him. He might have been detected. The minions of the Burning Legion could be closing in. Whether the Naru was friendly or not, it was placing both of them in danger. Farewell, the Naru said. A limb of light flickered out of its body and touched Illidan on the forehead. He felt a sense of contact, as if another tattoo had been added to his flesh. It burned, strangely, at war with the fell power contained within his other tattoos. Then it merged with them and disappeared. The contact was broken, and the Naru vanished from his sight as if it had never been. The image of himself transformed once again played through his mind. Could it be true? Was there really a path to redemption for him? He had never dared think such a thing was possible, and yet the Naru believed it would be so. It believed in him. Just for a moment he let himself believe too. Then he pushed the thought to one side for future consideration. There was still work to be done. Illidan studied the anchor points of the portal. He could just sense them, and he knew they were there. Hopefully, they would remain hidden from any demon who sought them. It was time to go. He had been here too long. He ended the spell of astral travel, and his spirit hurtled through the twisting nether and thundered back into his body. In front of his forehead, visible to his spectral senses, a rune floated. He knew its blaze mirrored the mark the Naru had left on him. Even as that realization hit him, the rune faded into invisibility, vanished as if the encounter had never happened. He paused to recollect the meeting, using every trick of memory his sorcerer's mind possessed. It had been real, he felt certain.